This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I'm getting a lot of support for Jones on Twitter, that he hasn't been given a chance, they haven't had any weapons, bad offensive line. I get that. And I don't think we've seen the true Daniel Jones, but in spurts. But you have to make tough decisions sometimes without all the information. Is he the guy that's going to lead you to the promised land, or is he just, at the best case scenario, a good quarterback that can win you some games? I mean, are you saying that this is a diamond in the rough, that this is the next great quarterback in this league, and the offensive line and the coaching and the lack of weapons has deprived us of that? Or is he culpable too?
The Michael K. Show.
When you draft somebody 6 overall, that's going to become your Trevor Lawrence. And I don't think he's that.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, yes. What a great first 2 hours. And we're going to come out of the gate here in the 5 o'clock hour with a howitzer shot. So we just ended the 4 o'clock hour talking about how Don and Peter, once I was gone, just completely tore into me. I get help with my picks. And then I was notified by several people that this is what Don said during the discussion.
This guy couldn't pick lint out of his navel.
Really?
For the first, really? For the first decade of us doing it, Michael, you would agree that you struggled. I won every year.
Not by a lot. You didn't blow me out.
But every year.
But
you lost.
I can't pick lint out of my navel.
Well, listen, we're in a very descriptive medium.
Yeah, so I know what you're describing.
I'm one of the things I have to do, and I'm not great at it, is to try to entertain an audience.
Sure.
So I came up with an imaginative way on how you struggled early, and every year I won, and it was a thing.
But you didn't say
until
that.
You decided to get
help.
He
can't pick lint out of his belly button. Like, it's still a thing.
This guy couldn't pick lint out of his navel.
No, see, that.
And look how
he
enunciated each letter of the word. Couldn't pick lint out of his belly button.
I'm sorry, I'm trying, Michael. I know you want to be the star, and you're trying to swat us back down. Your star can still shine along with ours. Okay?
This has nothing to do with me being
sure
a star. You're devaluing this man.
The man being you.
Yeah, you're devaluing me. My football prowess is on display the last 5 years.
Yes, because you've purchased that, in my opinion. I don't have proof, but I can have an opinion.
I can almost sue you for defamation of character. You don't have proof, but you're putting it out there in the universe that I'm doing something unethical.
I never said it was unethical. Nobody ever said it was unethical.
Well, if
you're
guys aren't getting help,
rule.
And
not
I
one
am,
rule.
Then that's unethical of me.
No. Well, I mean, lying is unethical, but you can do it. We all get, as you said, we all get help. I just think that you just said enough is enough. I'm going to go talk to an expert and have them make my pick.
You really think that I want to beat you guys so bad that I would part with the thing I love dearest other than my family, money?
I'm not
I
saying
do to it.
Pay for it.
No, I don't think pay.
No, there's no way you'd pay for it. It's not that important to you.
But Giants again, yesterday.
All right. This is way more important. You're right.
It is way more important. You guys have devalued me, and I will not forget it.
But it's okay to devalue me when you say, well, Don doesn't care about Aaron Judge. And you know the Yankee Nation's going to be all over me for that.
That was a segment where you were not going to turn over to Aaron Judge. But you know what? It worked out perfectly, you said, because you didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I will not devalue these men.
Well, he had the at-bat before the game, and the other at-bat was at the half, and then he had an at-bat going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, see, you were golden.
I saw them all, Michael.
Beautiful. That's because you're a great talk show host. I never say that you're not. I say you're brilliant. Brilliant on the air.
You do say that. And I think you're brilliant.
But I'm not brilliant enough to make football picks.
That's
because,
right.
You know, the calculus of football is just too much for my little mind.
You know what? We have an opinion, okay?
And it's trash.
You accused me 2 days ago of copying all my picks. The same thing.
Yeah.
You didn't even have a pick, and then you heard Tannenbaum, and you took his pick. You said
let's face it. Coming after us hits different than coming after him.
No, I'm okay with you coming after me when it has a shred of proof. And if you have a shred of evidence.
How are we going to get the evidence?
Hey,
if you want to subpoena my phone and see if I'm talking with anybody about picks, do it. I'm fine.
Your picks are the equivalent of what happened to Barry Bonds when he went to San Francisco.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Really. Giants against the Cowboys. No one out in the football universe can be shocked by yesterday. There's no way. This is who the Giants are. They're a team in transition. Mm-hmm. They have got to clean up the toxic mess that Dave Gettleman left. They're in salary cap hell, so Joe Shane couldn't get anything on the free agent market of any significance. They didn't have money. They're up against it. Everything this guy touched, other than Andrew Thomas, and Barkley's having a good year this year, although for most of it, you know, the last 2 years he's been non-existent. Those are the two things that you could say, oh, that was a pretty good job. But otherwise, Gettleman has left the cupboard bare. Now, you can also think, oh, you're playing the Cowboys without Dak, should be able to beat them. No, because Cooper Rush was very capable because he was protected. And Daniel Jones was not capable because he was running for his life. So you could get excited over the first two wins. It showed that they have a steely resolve. They play hard for their coach. They played hard yesterday. But, Don, it comes down to this. This is what people have told me that I pay to tell me this stuff. The bottom line is the Giants play hard, but they're not talented. So how do you expect them to win a lot of games?
They're not going to win a lot of games, but people got giddy because they were 2-0, and they were one of only three teams that were undefeated going into Monday, although that's a little weird because they only played the two games, but you know what I mean, that, hey, you can beat Dallas. It's a winnable game, and it was a winnable game. I don't think there were too many people in the building that thought that there was no shot they'd win after Barkley's touchdown. I mean, the building was up for grabs, and you felt like this was going to be the Giants' night, and would the Cowboys do rattle off 17 straight points? Because they're a better team than the Giants are right now. Even without Dak, they're a better team. But the Giants still were alive in the fourth quarter, had a chance at the end of the game to possibly tie, and I think at this point that's really all you can hope for. They don't have any weapons. Now they're going to be down another weapon because it looks like Shepard's probably done for the year. This offensive line is going to be a work in progress all season long. And I think the defense has a chance to get better. And I think they're probably going to be a 6-7, maybe 8-win team, have some meaningful games in December. And that's all you could have really asked for. Because, as you said, a dumpster fire of a situation Shane had to take over. You think in a snap of a finger he's going to be able to change that? But the one thing I think we've seen through the first 3 weeks is they've got a good coach. And now we got to find out if they've got the quarterback. And last night, he gave you some glimpses. I thought he played well. He toughed it out. He used his legs. He hit some open receivers when he had to, threaded the needle a couple of times. But I just think that's basically all he is. He's a game manager that can win you some games. He's not a franchise quarterback. But I think we're in for a fun season of competitive football because of the coaching. And Jones will give it his all, and we'll see at the end of the year whether he'll get another kick at the can or whether they'll move on.
What I wanted to see yesterday, which was, again, what Peter said earlier, we really don't know anything more about Jones after that game. We always knew he was tough. I mean, the guy could take a licking and keep ticking. That's who he is. He's a tough kid. But when they got the ball back with however many seconds left, over a minute, no timeouts, and you have a chance to tie, drive the length of the field and do it. And they wasn't able to do it. Now, was he not able to do it because he didn't have time, or was he just not able to do it?
Well, if you, watching the game, even Aikman made the comment, the Cowboys were laying back. They were not sending a lot of – it was not because of pressure that he didn't come through there.
And then his wide receiver fell.
Right. I mean, it was just – the interception wasn't really his fault. I guess it was – trying to think of who it was that fell down. But it wasn't Shepard. You talk about the last play of the game, Michael, and a play in which he wasn't involved in it and was just about ready to stop and leave the field is when he blew out his knee, which is just a shame.
It's so crazy.
I guess it was Sills that was the one that fell down.
Yeah.
And then the pickoff. But it wasn't because he was under pressure. It's just that he doesn't have guys that are going to get open, and they knew we were obvious passing situations, and they just laid back, and there was not going to be anybody open. But you didn't get that sense when they got the ball back that they were going to get a touchdown. Although I didn't feel like there was no hope because it is the NFL and you can move the field. Peter, you had a lot on the game there where you kind of felt like, yeah, there's a possibility here, even with no timeouts, over a minute to go, get a couple of completions, maybe a pass interference, and you put yourself at least in a position, and that didn't happen because of the injury. This is not the day to beat up on Daniel Jones. Today is the day to beat up on the fact that last night was an example that anybody thought that this was going to be a team that was going to be making the playoffs. That's not going to happen. But it is a team that is going to be competitive every week, and you've got every reason to believe they could be 3-1. I think they could beat the Bears at home.
They should.
You know, so maybe they will give you some interesting football, which is all we could ask for. We haven't had it in a decade. So get some interesting football going, and now I think they've got the coach.
But the thing that frustrates me, every week that goes by that you don't have enough information on what to do with Daniel Jones is a wasted week. That's what this whole season's about. You've got an offensive guru as your coach, and he's the guy who helped turn Josh Allen into this great weapon in Buffalo. He's got to work that magic on Daniel Jones. And what I see in watching the games is he's using Daniel Jones with training wheels. He's not letting Daniel Jones ride a 10-speed. He's got Daniel Jones on training wheels. He didn't want to make any mistakes because he wants to win games to help change the culture. So, I mean, that's at loggerheads with each other. If you let this guy air it out and really see what he's got, you might not win the games. He wants to win games to change the way the team thinks and plays. It's tough.
But at some point, if they really don't know, now maybe for all we know, they do know that he's not the guy. And I don't know what the game plan is beyond that. But if they're still looking to find out, at what point do you just say, I want to win games, but let's change the game plan. Let's chuck the ball downfield. He's had one completion of over 25 yards in the first 3 weeks. A part of that's him. Part of it's that they won't let him make mistakes. There's a reason why he's not turning the ball over. I don't think they're really putting him in a position to do that. Maybe it's time. Why not open it up? And if he costs you games, doesn't it make it that much easier to move on?
Well, I want to read a quote from this famous football expert. Every game that passes where you don't have an answer, then you really do have an answer.
It was brilliant.
Peter Rosenberg, earlier today.
Thank you. Never forget.
We can't.
No.
In all honesty, I'm not kidding around, Peter. That's marketable. The Wayne Gretzky, you miss 100% of the shots you don't try.
Mm-hmm.
What's the Vince Lombardi? Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. It could really be. You can get it like knitted onto pillows, get a big sign. I'm in awe.
I could get RotoWear to do it if you'd like, Peter.
You think so?
Oh, they would do it, sure. You wouldn't get a dime from it, but.
Listen, no. let's not confuse the T-shirt contest, okay? We already have a big T-shirt contest going on.
Although I don't think you'd be mad if somebody incorporated that into the contest and made it a T-shirt.
True. Could work.
Just I don't even know where that came from.
Was it?
I don't know where it came. It would be like I'm tossing pitches from like 40 feet away to Charlie on the field at Yankee Stadium, and he hits it over the 408-foot sign in center field. That's what Peter did. He's not capable of that kind of comment.
Right. That's the thing. All this compliment is proving to me is that you think I am an absolute bona fide moron.
No.
And the fact that I said something semi-intelligible really sent you into a tailspin.
No. It wasn't semi-intelligent. It was brilliant. It was Einstein's E equals MC squared.
Wow.
And that's not you. I mean, you're still working on multiplication tables, so E equals MC squared, where's that coming from? I don't know. Maybe you're getting your real good value comments from other people.
I know it's kidding on the square, but is there a compliment on the square? Because this doesn't feel like a true compliment after you really get into it.
No, it's not even a backhanded compliment. It's just a friendly sounding insult.
Not an insult at all. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Rick in L.A. wants to defend Daniel Jones. Go, Rick, go.
Hi, guys. Listen, you know, it's all about the defense getting off the field on third down and the offensive line. And what good are weapons if you don't have time to throw the ball? I mean, if we've given a good defense and an offensive line, I got a list of guys that took their teams to the Super Bowl: David Woodley, Stan Humphries, Chris Chandler, Jake Lohm, Jared Goff, Matt Hasselbeck. Jim Plunkett had to wait till he had a good team before he could show what he could do out in the Raiders. Dilfer, Brad Johnson, Joe Flacco, we forget. He had a good team, so he went to the Super Bowl. Mark Rippon, Nick Foles. Come on, this is not Daniel Jones. Isn't the problem here. Let's go.
But let me ask you this, though, Rich. I agree with everything you're saying. He hasn't had protection. He's had different offensive coordinators, different coaches. What has he shown you, though? Because Steve Young came on the air yesterday and said, you don't win games without a dynamic quarterback. Now, the days of all those guys you just named, They don't exist. You've got to be able to put a lot of points on the board. So,
well, talking about weapons, what weapons did the Giants have when they won their Super Bowls? Did they have any all-pro wide receivers, running backs that led the league in yardage? No. It was defensive line, pass rush, offensive line, drive the field down with the offense, no mistakes, and get off the field on third down on defense.
No, I get all of that, but they had really workmanlike running backs for sure. But
what I'm saying is Daniel Jones is not the problem.
But it's not.
How do you know that?
Is he the answer?
What has he shown you, though?
Well, given time to throw, I think he's an accurate thrower, and he definitely can get out of the pocket and run when he has
yes,
to. No one loved Eli Manning more than I did, but last night, how do you think he would have done with that pass rush?
Well,
and
look,
people are saying Eli Manning would have won last night. Come on.
What I find interesting about all the people that want to defend Daniel Jones, are they the same people that couldn't wait to get rid of Eli? Because it was the same thing with Eli. Didn't have an offensive line, lack of weapons, but it was, no, he's Eli. It's all his fault. Well, now you're
Eli could
that,
have played another 5 years if he had an offensive line.
But, you know, he's throwing out a lot of names from the past, you know, the Woodleys and the Plunkets and all that. If you want to be special, and you draft a quarterback sixth overall, and I understand it wasn't Shane that did it, it was Gettleman. You're not thinking about a game manager. You're not thinking about having a quarterback that you're going to have to compensate for with a ton of weapons and a great offensive line. You're thinking that I'm going to have a quarterback that's going to be special. He's not the problem, but the question is he the answer? Clearly, last night was not the reason they lost. He was probably the single reason why they had a chance to win that game, him and Barkley. All right? And I thought the defense played well. Couldn't get off the field on third down, but, hey, they still held the Cowboys to 23 points and gave them a chance to win. But overall, forget about last night. The first two games against Tennessee. You know, what's Tennessee? They haven't won a game this year. All right? Well, Carolina. Carolina just won their first game last week. We're not talking about them going into Tampa Bay and beating the Buccaneers or going to Green Bay and winning a game. I mean, they were nice, they were competitive, but what were they? An offense that really didn't accomplish much, didn't do much.
And the biggest thing Daniel Jones did was that run. They got them, you know, that they could run out the clock.
And we always knew from the very beginning that he had athleticism, he had legs, but is he the answer? Is he the quarterback where you're going to say, we don't have to draft a quarterback, we don't have to go through free agency or make a trade or accumulate picks to go up and move up in the draft? We've got our quarterback. Can you honestly say that with all the compliments and all the accolades you want to give him and saying that he's not the problem? Are you ready to go the other direction and say that he's the answer and that they have their quarterback? Can you really honestly say that?
See, here's the thing that people are losing. Everybody's thinking that we're saying this because of last night's game. I think last night's game was on the positive side for Daniel Jones. But his body of work has not shown you, he hasn't stayed healthy either, has not shown you that he is the guy.
You know how many games we're up to, guys?
Three.
41.
41 for him, yeah.
41. This is not a one-season sample size. It's just, I feel Giants fans. They're right. He is not the only problem. And this team has a lot to deal with. But the problem is, if the quarterback you want to have on your team is a guy who can win you a game or two you're not supposed to win, that's not Daniel Jones. Hasn't been so far. It appeared that way in his first game as a Giant. Since then, I've rarely felt it. He had the game against Washington at the end of the year a couple years ago. He had the first game when he came in for Eli. Besides that, though, how often has he won a game for this team?
And I give Martindale credit, too. I mean, last night I thought the defense played well. You could see how much they missed Leonard Williams.
Right, they couldn't get to the quarterback, couldn't stop the run.
And yet they still, he dialed up some blitzes and he figured out. That's the thing I'm excited about is I feel like you've got coaches on both ends of the ball that can make it work because of the lack of talent. And I can't wait for them to finally get some talent. But it's all about getting the quarterback and stop with the Dilfers and the Plunkets and giving me quarterbacks
sport.
From 30, 40 years ago. What does Steve Young say every Monday when he comes on? You want to be special? You want to compete for a Super Bowl? You need a special quarterback. And that's how you do it. And can he be that? Can Dable turn him in to Mahomes? Can he do it?
I think there's something else that you have to turn him into. And we'll go over that when we come back. But there's something that could make him different and special. There's risk involved, but you can do it. We'll give you that when we get back right here on The K Show on YES, the ESPN app, and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
You all might think that this is a crazy thing to think, but here we go. We know the one thing that Daniel Jones does well is he runs the ball. What would you think about turning him into this crazy hybrid of Fran Tarkenton, Bobby Douglas, Lamar Jackson, guys that run and run well, and then make it a pass second option. Make it almost like a version of the Wildcat, which the NFL ended up figuring out how to stop, but now it's been so many years since a team does that, that I'm sure that they'd have to relearn how to do it. And I think this guy has the legs and the moves to do it. Now, if you don't think he could be a quarterback that can pass, you're saying, well, he might get hurt. Well, you're going to have to find out what you have anyway. I don't think that this is a bad play. Let's be dynamic in that way. Have him do that rather than the other way. And you can say, well, how are you going to stay healthy that way? Well, if he's healthy and he's not effective, well, what is he anyway? I'm not saying you want him to get hurt, but that might be the best way to make him a difference maker, Don.
But you know what? I think they're almost doing that anyway. Like, I think a lot of
these – I say do it more.
You know, he drops back to pass. No one's open. Bang, his immediate instinct. I think he could probably do it more because I think his immediate instinct is to pass the ball. But there were a couple of times during the game where Aikman said he probably could have gotten more yards if he just committed to running the ball right away. Now, you are going to get yourself beat up. And the Giants can't worry about him if he's not the future. But that's not sustainable. We saw it with RG3, right, Peter? Where just
oh, I sure
that,
did.
That wear
well, what
and
a
tear.
Run he had. What a run.
No, but well, you say what a run, but from a Washington perspective, it wasn't nearly as good. Yeah, they made the playoffs that rookie year, but then it ends up being a player that, you know, 2-3 years down the road, you're looking for another quarterback again because he's beat up, and you can't count on that. Like, well, let's say it worked, Michael.
Right.
And let's say you won a few games and you're competing with the Eagles. Do you believe he's going to be able to stay healthy through the rest of the season and you finally make the playoffs and then he gets hurt? And plus, teams can now game plan against it. You still need the threat of passing the ball to make it work.
But he still has that threat. But make that the second option. Make it a run-first quarterback.
I think it's an interesting thought, and I do think he'd be a unique – and I don't know if I'd call him run-first. Like, what if it was viewed as a completely split? Like, you really don't know play-to-play.
Right.
Not favoring one over the other. And when he does throw the ball, you're gonna what they need to do, obviously, is get the ball out of his hands quickly. And that should help with the running game, too, because you don't know when he drops back. Is he getting the ball out of his hand quickly or is he going to hand it off to Barkley? I think it's a good idea, and I think the biggest difference between Daniel Jones and RG3 is while he has had his injury moments, he does seem like he's able to take a licking more so than a lot of quarterbacks.
And to the point where you're talking about getting beat up, is he going to get any less beat up doing it this way than sitting in the pocket?
Exactly. And also, you know who runs a lot? People, you know, they don't see all their games. Josh Allen runs an awful lot.
Oh, he does.
He does.
I think to the detriment sometimes of the team, he takes way too many hits than I would like.
Right.
But you know what? But to your point, Michael, is if I'm going to get hit 3, 4, 5 times by Lawrence, I'd rather get hit by Lewis. Yeah, you know, have a cornerback hit me in the secondary where I've gained 15 yards. I got the option to run out of bounds, then dropping back in the pocket and having defensive ends, you know, crush and land on top of me and get sacked. He got sacked 5 times yesterday. And I think the reason it wasn't even more is because of his scrambling ability. And Lawrence, like, missed a quarter in the second half. He was on his way to having a huge night last
night. How good is he?
Well, he's very good. That's a good defense. It really is. Now, Parsons, I'm not ready to call him Lawrence Taylor, but he is very, very good.
You brought this up yesterday, too. Listen, he's really good. There's one Lawrence Taylor. We're never going to see it again. people have to stop saying he's the next Lawrence Taylor. No, there's no next Lawrence Taylor.
The next time you say the words.
What was that?
Yeah, the next time you say the words Lawrence Taylor and Micah Parsons in the same sentence, you should go to prison.
Oh, that's a little harsh, but I don't think that Lawrence Taylor should be compared to anybody. Don, you lived it through your formative years. Nobody had an impact on the game like him.
No, nobody. And remember, he redefined the linebacker position. Linebackers were like dropping into coverage, which he still could do. But getting the quarterback, that was defensive linemen. The linebackers didn't worry about that. I mean, running backs were able to block linebackers, and then he came into the league, and it was tackles and tight ends combined trying to stop him. But Parsons is still somebody that I think OC's game plan for. Where is he? He is an amazing, amazing player. But no, Lawrence Taylor is a generational type guy. But he's that kind of version for that Dallas team that's got a pretty good defense.
And but I don't even think generational is right. He's once in the planet type of player. There's not going to be another Lawrence Taylor in another generation. Once in a planet. Once in the history of humankind. That's how special this guy was. You can't say Micah Parsons is the next guy. You can say, wow, he's going to have an impact on defense.
No.
Why does everything have to be compared and like put up on this pedestal? Lawrence Taylor is, forget about his off-field transgressions. We all know about that. Despicable. But he's legend. He's legend what he was. Micah Parsons is not that guy.
No, listen, Ray Lewis wasn't Lawrence Taylor.
No one will ever be Lawrence Taylor.
Did Butkus, and you could talk about like Lawrence Taylor, you could talk about White and Bruce Smith, but those were defensive ends. But they still weren't Lawrence Taylor and all the things that he could do. Yeah, no, he was special football player for sure. But that always happens. Every great offensive lineman gets compared to Anthony Munoz that's the way it goes. And you talk about linebackers or great defensive players, Lawrence Taylor is going to come to mind.
Now, we have new and more listeners every single day, but Don once had a very telling, I don't know if Anthony has it there, interview with Lawrence Taylor that to this day, they both were speaking this language, and we have no idea what they were saying, and it's something to be cherished and to pour it over by all journalism schools over the next 200 years. Do we
all
have
right,
that,
Don,
let's hit it again.
All right, fine, Don. Seven, two.
Now, do we have Don's question?
No, we're well.
Yeah, that's the beautiful
part.
Now,
let me just tell you. Can I just take a moment?
Please.
No, Zoom, we're well.
Because I wish this was factored in to all the people that have their opinions on where we are as a radio station.
Right.
That happened 17 years ago in 2005. All right? Mm-hmm. Leading into a giant Panther playoff game. That interview was taped, where that could have been edited out. It wasn't. It still aired during a show.
And we should thank that person every day.
During a show that I did from the exit ramp on Route 3 on the shoulder from our transmitter, because we weren't allowed to broadcast from the stadium because we didn't have the rights to Giant Games. So
when you
wonder,
Peter,
where we are as a radio station, where we started out, you don't criticize the guy for not winning the 100-yard dash when 5 minutes before he actually came from slime under a rug.
But don't you believe, Peter, that like 300 years from now, like that year's Indiana Jones is going to try to unearth what that actually was said? Those two people talking to each other.
Do we have, Anthony, do you have the full opening part of that clip? Like when the way the conversation actually started in order? Because it's important to hear exactly.
It's
for the annals of broadcast journalism.
All I'm just trying to let all those pundits out there, all those people that write about where we are and all that, is if they started out as a radio station where we started out, they would have died. We're still
here. Let's listen to the entire
exchange. That's the miracle. That's what I take from that exchange,
is
the miracle that is this station.
It's a miracle that this actually was played on the station, and we still had an FCC license. Let's listen.
LT, it's Don LaGreca. How are you?
All right, fine, Don. How's that you?
No, Zoom, we're well.
Michael Adair.
You know, as time goes by, Peter, Don's response is my favorite. What's doing real well?
No, Zoom, we're well.
So Don, in that moment, understood what LT said.
Do you think that's true? That in that moment,
Don,
It's like going to a country, and you've done a little bit of, you know, you've taken some lessons.
Right.
So when people start speaking the language, you can pick things up. It's like Don had studied LT, and the second LT started talking to him, Don just went right into LT talk back.
But it aired.
What?
Howard Cosell
like
saying hired, fired,
promoted,
it's wrong. That didn't air. I'm on the air. They're called outtakes. Not here. Here
well,
it made the air.
Then.
That's what I'm saying. This is scaling Mount Everest. This is Mount Kilimanjaro.
We'll do it live.
Where we came from. From the slime under a rock. We're the dinosaur that survived the meteor.
No one understands it.
No one, and they don't get it. But that little clip says it all. And we're such a better place. But we survived, Peter.
I know.
We're the cockroach that survived. They should know.
One more time, Anthony. Please, one more time. The entire exchange so people can enjoy it.
LT, it's Don LaGreca. How are you?
All right, fine, Don. Hope it's happened to you.
No, it's doing real well.
What would your response have been? How he answered, what would your response have been?
What? See everybody. Have a good night. Well, I would have said, what was that, Lawrence?
Wait, because I know what you're going to say, Peter.
No.
Is that we saw what happened to Michael when Mike Greenberg was actually articulate in his goodbye.
That's right.
I at least had the defense of, he just said something to me. I don't understand what it is. I'm flummoxed, and it's on tape, so I know they're going to edit it out.
But
you were on live television.
You answered in Sanskrit.
Thank you, my friend, and I will see you soon. Say hi to everybody.
All right, be well. You say hello, too.
Okay, take care, Michael.
That
it's Michael
clear.
K with
be
me
well,
here.
Be well, say hello, too.
Now, is
anybody would understand that.
Is it Sanskrit or Skrit? I'm just curious about that.
What did you say?
Sanskrit.
Yeah, Sanskrit.
I thought Michael said Sanskrit.
No, Sanskrit. Let's hear Don's answer again when he wants to hear that again.
LT, it's Don LaGreca. How are you?
All right, fine, Don. Hope it's happened to you.
No, it's doing real well.
He's having fun with me, and I get it. He should. But was that response as bad as Michael's response? And at least I had an excuse.
Let me hear one more time.
LT, it's Don LaGreca. How are you?
All right, fine, Don. Hope it's happened to you.
No, it's doing real well.
Thank you, my friend, and I will see you soon. Say hi to everybody.
All right, be well. You say hello, too.
Okay, take care, Michael. It's Michael K with me here.
Stuttering his way through it, but I get, you say hello, too.
Don's
we don't know
like
what
this.
Don said. We don't know what LT said.
Don's not going to like this, but Don sounds crazier than Michael. It's Don's is basically impossible. You think it's doing real well, but he also says it twice. Both of them are horrifying, but...
It was one of the great choke jobs in the history of our business.
God, the
and
only
I know why. I know why it happened, because Don idolized LT as a player.
Yep.
And he has him on the phone. Then LT spits out something. All right, Fon Don, what's happening here? And then Don right. just he lapsed into LT-isms.
Maybe LT for a moment, Don, confused you with a pro wrestler and ECW great Rob Van Dam. Is that possible?
I don't know.
All right, listen, Van Dam.
17 years we've been trying to get people to figure out what LT said, and no one's been able to do it.
All right, Van Dam. Hope it's happened to you.
I think it's I'm Van Dam. Hop it, stop it with you.
Yeah, that's it. You nailed it.
Well, yeah, they're not real words. I'm surprised. You really think that mine was worse?
Yeah, just a little. Not
because,
by much.
Because I'm stuttering, not knowing what to say, but the words that come out of my mouth are, in fact, decipherable. We don't know what you were
but
saying.
But why were you flummoxed? I mean, it wasn't anything Greeny said. No offense
to
Greeny. He's not Lawrence
you know
Taylor. He's not your idol.
Greeny's a star. I'm not. Greeny makes big money. I don't. And so when I get around people like that, sometimes I get a little intimidated, and that's what I did. Notice I don't talk like that around you guys. I'm fine.
Yeah,
but around Greeny, it's a big deal.
All right, be well. You say hello to
see?
And yours
but
is live. Mine's on
it.
Tape. I'm thinking, what's the big deal? They're going to edit this out.
Okay.
Mine was live.
Right. That's what I'm just saying that I and it was 17 years ago. Like
you're a different guy now.
I was a different person then.
Now
I would
you're
hope
much
over
better.
The, oh, wait.
Anthony just discovered, Michael, if it helps, a longer version of Don and LT.
LT, it's Don LaGreca. How are you?
All right, fine, Don. How about you?
No, it's doing real well. Now, tell me, how much of the Giants have you been able to watch this year?
Actually, I don't watch a whole lot. I've seen them several times.
So at that point, you've got to end the interview. You have him on to talk about the Giants. He says he doesn't even watch them. You got to hang up.
I'm going to quit. But it did air in its entirety.
We need a content, Don.
I hate you.
Well, especially 17 years ago, the last thing they wanted was just me talking. LT stammering through is better than me being on the air. By
Gladiator is 34. 35 is Titanic. Another overrated movie. From Here to Eternity, 36. Saving Private Ryan, 37.
You know how Peter, you know I'm afraid of death and I love life, right? Mm-hmm. When he's doing that, you know, we're all in the old office and he's doing that list, I wanted to stab myself in the eyeball. That's how I felt.
But people were interested. How else are you supposed to read a list?
Everybody loves you, so they were being kind.
Andrew, honestly, were you being kind or were you interested? We were asking about the movies that were on
the
list.
Honest,
how
Andrew.
Else were we supposed to do it? Dance them?
I was stunned that you read all 100. I was stunned.
That was the beginning of the Don Show. All right, let's take a brief time out.
I'm just in a different place, I guess.
You really are. We'll be back with more of this frivolity in just a moment right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So I think Richard may have it right.
What's that?
LT said, all right, Paisan, sup, what's happening with you?
Why would he call Don Paisan?
Don's Italian.
I think.
How would LT know that?
They're close.
He didn't have any idea who he was talking to, so he wouldn't know my ethnicity. I think our Ryan Hurley, our PD, might have nailed it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
He said, let me try to find it here. He says, all right, fine, Don, what's up? What's happening with you?
It could be that.
Let's listen.
Ryan's been here the entire time, and now, 17 years later, he's finally cracked the code.
Hey, it's better than not getting it.
Well, really, that's some Da Vinci Code movie he just made.
I'm Marty Lyons.
Let's listen.
LT, let's go Don to LaGreca. Nicholas. How are you?
All right, fine, Don. Help seven you.
No, it's doing well.
I think he got it.
Let's go to Nicholas and Howell. He thinks he has it. What's up, Nicholas? What do you think?
Hey, guys. First time, long time.
Welcome aboard. What do you got?
Well, actually, it sounds like some people are getting it, and I have to credit Peter, because the first time I actually heard the entire cut in the row was when he just asked. I've heard them both separately, but it does sound like LT is just basically answering Don, saying, I'm all right there, Don. How are you? And he just, you know, completely fumbled it, obviously, because he was, you know.
Well, let's hear it. So you're saying it's what? I'm fine, Don?
I'm fine, Don.
I'm
what's
all
up?
Right
what's
there,
happening with you?
Don? Like, he was basically trying to say, I'm all right here, Don. Or I'm all right.
Let's see if Nicholas just, has anything going here. One
LT, it's Don LaGreca. How are you?
All right, fine, Don. I'm stabbing you.
No, it's doing well.
We're all wrong. It's indecipherable. Never will be solved.
No, but the fine.
I'd like to get LT on in a good mood and say, what were you saying here?
I don't think he knows what he said. But I think we look at Fondon. It's fine, Don. But we'll never know.
It's something like that. It's all right, fine, Don. What's up? What's happening with you? Something like that.
Now, John Winthrop said, I always thought he said, all right, Mike, Don, what's happening with you? Because you said Michael K. Show.
Oh.
No, I never said the Michael. Why would I say the Michael K. Show? It didn't. Yeah. It aired before a Giant playoff game. It had nothing to do with Michael K. Nothing. It should have been on my list of things that Michael has nothing to do with.
Like no, Michael K.
No, had nothing. People have said that. It had nothing to do with the Michael K. Show. I taped it earlier in the week.
I'm on the air.
I believe that was a Saturday playoff game.
Who was the favorite player? Who was LT's favorite coach?
I would assume Bill Parcells.
Right. Bill Parcells always called you Michael. So maybe that was just an offshoot of that.
That's a good point.
But he didn't call me Michael Don.
He might have.
That's Winthrop, one of the people leading us into the wilderness. Anyway.
I think he was one of the people that decided that it was arable.
Did you ever get to the bottom of it? I mean, that's like almost a fight that you could have. Why would you guys put that on the air?
I didn't have that kind of sway then.
You do now, though. You could have that destroyed if you want.
It's the equivalent of when I do my Sunday night show, when I pre-record it, if I were to pre-record 1 week and be listening and hear a part in my mix when I just like messed up and started rewinding and started the song over again, a complete edit point, and it just played out for 5 minutes. That's
bye,
what that
yes.
is. Right,
goodbye, yes. We're staying here on radio, though. Bye, yes.
That's...
Ray Rowe.
Now, Don, you didn't hear it live, did you? Were you hearing it?
Yeah.
You were driving around?
No.
Oh, no.
He was on the side of the road.
I was on the side of the road.
Playing it back.
Again, and people would think I'm exaggerating. No, I was on the shoulder of the Route 3 exit for the Meadowlands.
Beautiful.
And we had Lawrence Taylor to talk about a game apparently he had no interest in because he hardly watched the team that we were interviewing him about. And we aired it during the show that I was doing, I believe, with Paul Dottino.
I'll tell you what, Peter. I know you joined the station when it was firmly on its, 2 feet. But the fact that we're celebrating the 20th anniversary, what Don and I have gone through, where we couldn't do the show at Shea Stadium, so we did it on the walkway between the U.S. Open facility and Shea Stadium. And there was a massive storm, and we almost got killed as the tent flew onto the train tracks. And then rather than just go off the air, they made us broadcast from the back of a Hummer. That's how far we've come. What's happened in 20 years.
I want
years.
People in there.
It's fair. It's worthy of applause.
It's unbelievable what we've done.
That's why we need to celebrate.
That's why we're having this big bash.
That's right.
Who was the runner Decker that fell during the Olympics?
Yeah, Mary Decker.
Mary Decker. We were Mary Decker and still won the race. We fell.
I mean, we fell hard.
But I've never been prouder of where we are.
I mean, because we've come from so far away. All right, Dan in Pompton Lakes, he thinks he knows what else he said. Dan?
Hello?
Hello, Dan.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you just said, all right then, Don, nice talking to you, or like happy to talk to you. And you like just rambled through.
Yeah, everybody thinks that everybody is like thinking they know what he said and then that he rambled through, but nobody can say with any degree of certitude that that's exactly what the man said.
So you don't think Ryan's right?
No, I never think Ryan's right. That'll get me to suspend it, just like in the summer.
Okay.
Suspend it again.
All right, let's take a brief timeout because you know what we have coming up. There's no bigger ENN than the one when Judge is sitting on 60 home runs. Oh. None.
Yeah. Just sitting. And
that's why for six games now, there's a lot of pressure on ENN.
You think that we're tied together with the Judge chase?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Wow.
So, Monday and Tuesday, and then you have to go Friday and Thursday. Yeah.
Thursday.
That would be the 6 days that he hasn't homered. And those are big shows, Thursday, Friday, Monday,
huge.
Tuesday.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of chatter about him.
All right, Fondon. Anyway, maybe Fondon will be on ENN coming up.
I'm a big boy.
Yeah, he is. Right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.